I've always loved drawing, and I've always loved movies. I mean, I remember when I was 4 or 5 years old, I was always scribbling, and you know, my brother would always be playing with his friends and wanted me to join in, and I would rather just stay in my room and draw. So I was pretty obsessed from the get-go, and you know, I found out about that school, school in Toronto called Sheridan College. I went there when I was 18 years old, and did a short film. And the way I got my big break is I did this a 2-minute short film when I was there, and flew to California and show it to Don Bluth, who was making An American Tale at the time. And I was offered a position, and that was it. And
the rest is history.
The rest is history, yes.
Right. I want to find out about, you know, the importance of having a good artistic background. I mean, you had a passion for art, for drawing and all that. We'll find out how important that is in a short while. But Carl, talk to us about your beginnings as well.
Well, I had a kind of similar background. Uh-huh. I used to draw all the time when I was a kid, and especially like in my... and during class and school and stuff like that, maybe wasn't such a good idea.
But
and I loved the Disney films, but when I would watch them, I never could imagine that people actually made these things. They just seemed kind of like too magical to me. So
yeah,
I had the fortune of meeting a Disney animator when I was 18, and named Dan Jupe, and he told me about CalArts, and that's where I went to school,
right.
And studied hand-drawn traditional animation there for a couple years before starting to work in the studio system.
Right. Okay. So then let's talk about, you know, having that ability to draw. It is a God-given talent in my book. But you know, with getting into CG, do you really fundamentally need to have some sort of grounding in art, the ability to draw? I mean, can you go through the system, go through the industry with just having a keen interest in computers, perhaps, or technology?
Well, for me, anyway, I think drawing is essential, and everything starts with a drawing. The way I do my work, usually, I always start with drawn storyboards and drawn design, and I usually scan the work in the computer and then go from there. So, you know, I think, you know, I've worked with animators actually who were very skilled with the computers, but they didn't have the drawing skills, and I ended up having to hand draw the animation for them, and then they would take their computer skills and match my animation to do to their computer animation. So I think having the basis of being able to hand draw is definitely
paramount.
a huge plus
advantage, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think having that kind of background is pretty essential, mainly because if you learn how to do animation directly in the computer, then you're having to at the same time learn the principles of character animation and storytelling, mm-hmm. which are the same for computer animation or stop motion animation or traditional animation. But at the same time, you're having to learn how to use this software, which is quite a huge software.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot longer to do one or the other. So it's, if you're coming from traditional background, not only are you learning things like good composition and things like that, but it's easier to kind of pick up a pencil, or even if you're doing with a stop motion puppet, you can instantly just start moving the puppet, and all you're thinking about then is the performance and the art side of it. So you're not trying to think, where's the button that does this or that. So
right, okay, so it's a combination of both then. At the end of the day, you need to have a bit of both. I also noticed that the CG industry doesn't seem to be particularly tolerant of generalists. So you need to have a specialized set of skills to excel in the industry. Talk to us about this, you know, set of skills that you think is mandatory.
Well, I'm specialized in special effects animation. That's my specialty. But I'm also kind of a generalist in a way that I do my own short films, and I like having myself a general knowledge of everything, because I like to be an independent doing his own short films and you know, dipping in all kinds of areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Like if you apply at a studio, it's good to definitely have a very specific job description, and that's what, you know, I was actually in the portfolio review department at Warner Brothers, and I hired people for 6 years, and we we were very picky on making sure that somebody was, you know, we didn't like receiving portfolios and, oh, I'll do anything.
Right, okay.
We didn't like that. We wanted people to have a definite area where they were focusing on.
Mm, okay, define your abilities.
Yes.
Right. Carl, you've been working in this in the industry for, you know, about 12 years now,
yeah,
and counting. Yeah. How have you seen it evolve over the last 12 years?
Well, it's, I think that the way that technology has evolved has allowed for different stories to be told. If you look at Lord of the Rings, for example, with all these like huge crowds and war scenes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When I started doing 3D animation back in the early 90s,
that
would have been kind of unfathomable to do something that complex, you know. So it was, I started working just after Jurassic Park came out. So that was already like a huge milestone to see these kind of realistic dinosaurs.
Right.
But I think it's kind of opening up which stories can be told in that sense. As far as animation, the technology of real principles of animation, those are, you know, 80 years old, and they haven't changed so much. You know, the foundations are quite the same. It's just the tools are different.
Mm, okay. Is it a very fast-changing industry, you think, because of the software involved? Is it difficult to keep up with the changes?
You definitely have to keep up and keep up with everybody else. So, you know, I'm more interested myself in the vision and the imagination of the aspect of it. So I'm not really much of a techie myself.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty computer illiterate when it comes down to it. I pick stuff.
So for us then.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, it comes down to, okay, I look at a problem and I will pick whatever software is available that I think can achieve that. But it's software is very secondary in my mind. To me, it's always the vision.
Yeah.
What seeing something in your mind's eye and being able to achieve it, and whatever you use. I mean, like, for example, I was the work I did on the last Pixar movie, Ratatouille. They called me up and they gave me this problem, and they said, "Okay, we want you to do this section where the character is visualizing what taste would look like. So we want you to do an abstract animation representation of taste." And I looked at what, you know, would be available to do this, and I ended up hand drawing the whole thing, mm-hmm. and doing all the animation by hand. I did 1400 drawings for it and scanned all the animation in the computer and use a software that Pixar has never used before, and making it work for me. But I was not going the usual route for it, so
yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I can see where you're going with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting, of course. But let's also find out about, you know, some of the basics of animation technology that, you know, I think we want to really get into to give the listener an idea of how it works where you are in the studios. Talk to us about where you begin. So does it begin with storyboards being handed to you?
It begins with the story development, the script, and the storyboarding process being worked out, which is all storyboards obviously being all done, you know, hand drawn and,
yeah.
and this sort of thing. And when a sequence if you're talking about a feature film, you're looking at, you know, 30 to 40 different sequences all ranging around, you know, 2 minutes in length or so. And when a sequence is ready in story, then it starts to move into the production pipeline. And that's when the first thing that's done is the cinematography in terms of the layout and the staging of the characters.
Uh-huh.
And then from there it goes into the acting, the performance, animation.
Okay.
And then finally followed up with lighting and getting the color and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that's the interesting thing about animation compared to live action, where, you know, you have the script, and then when you're shooting it, you have all the actors and all the lighting, everything's kind of happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
And it's edited later.
Yeah, it's like you said, a production pipeline.
Yeah.
Right, interesting way of describing things. So it begins with the cinematography, and then you go on to layout, and then acting, performance, and of course the lights and everything else.
Okay. I mean, sometimes it'll actually begin with just a little sketch on a piece of paper, and the whole movie will spawn out of that. I mean, we've had things at Warner Brothers when I was there where, you know, it'd just be a couple of artists and we're shooting, you know, shooting the breeze, and somebody will come up with a sketch and say, "Oh yeah, that would be a good concept," and then you take it from there, and then you get some writer interested, and then you start building on that. So it can be very organic.
I mean,
and you know, I work several years in pre-production at Warner Brothers, just trying to get projects off the ground and just kind of doing concepts. And sometimes, you know, we'd just be given a concept, oh, we have this idea for this fire god kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Can you just do some experimental animation with that and see where it leads? And, you know, maybe we'll build a story around it. So sometimes it's very organic.
Sometimes
like that.
It starts that way.
Yeah.
Right.
And sometimes it starts with a very definite screenplay.
Yeah.
But sometimes it starts with no screenplay at all. I mean, when I work with Don Bluth for 6 years. And a lot of times, we didn't have a screenplay until halfway through the movie, mm-hmm. and he was just kind of making it up as he went, and just do storyboards, and then halfway through the movie, we'd have a finished screenplay.
Oh.
So that's not really a good way to work.
I mean,
but he gets the job done.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot can be cheated. I think. You know, I don't know if that's a good way to go, but
it is kind of a more like it's
quite flexible,
typical way
yeah.
in the big studio system to work that way, where you know we'll be animating about 80% of the movie's finished, and we're not exactly sure how it's going to start or how it's going to finish in terms of the story.
Mm.
You know, the general idea is there, but in terms of like the business or of what's going on and like what the characters say and do, that's still being worked out. So it's
right.
It can go right up into the end.
Okay.
So it's quite organic, I think.
Yeah. Okay, we'll continue to find out more from our guests. Once again, they are Carl and Michelle, and today they're talking to us about animation. We're talking about how movies come alive. When we return after the news, we'll find out about, how we've heard about feature animators having to work with actors to capture facial movements of the character they're trying to create, so how important that is. We'll also find out about how long it takes to produce a feature film. I've heard that a 4-second animation in The Incredible took an entire week for an animator to complete, so we'll talk time here. And of course, if you want to get in conversation with Carl and Michelle, you're welcome to do so. We welcome your calls, 669-11938. You can buzz us after the news on 938 Live. Stay with us. The Living Room continues in a short while.
938 Live.